You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Title of my message, Samuel, you're going to love this, is actually Piercing the Darkness. That's the title of my message. He sent me a text this morning, didn't even know. He goes, bro, I'm believing you're going to pierce the darkness. I just did a little inside chuckle. How good is God? Where are you going? I need a bouncer on stage just in case things hit right. But just be ready. Be ready. A lot of black belts on that dude. Looks all innocent like a teddy bear till he... But two things. So my encounter real quick, my teaching is going to be around Luke 18:4. We'll get into that in a minute. But really, real quick, what I want to experience or share with you an experience I had was I was in grad school. See, I just, great family, grew up in a Christian home. My grandpa was a preacher. My uncle's a preacher. And I just grew up a total black sheep punk kid because I never saw Power. And, you know, you read about all these things. Well, I didn't really read because I didn't read my Bible much, but I just listened to my parents. And I would just kind of see some of their struggles and I'd be like, whatever. This isn't for me because I saw no Power. I just heard a lot of Christianese. But it wasn't until I went from this little bubble of a Christian home, Christian school, Christian, blah, blah, blah. Then I went on to Westmont, great college. And but I never saw anything radical. It wasn't until I went to grad school. And I was in grad school in San Francisco. Half my school was gay or lesbian. And how many know there's some crazy things that go down when you've lived in a bubble your whole life, and then you go to right in the heart of San Francisco, and you go to grad school, and whoa, eyes wide open, what's going on? And palpation was weird in my class, but okay, never mind. But if you went to physical therapy school or chiropractic school, you know it's like every other class is palpation. So you just got all sorts of people touching you. But so it was the first time I was thinking, man, maybe I should go back to church. So I'm just having this thing like, maybe I should go back to church. So I'm about to go back to church. I'm making this agreement like, yeah, I need to find a church. That night, I'm literally laying in my bed. I had a bunk bed. I studied underneath, and many of you have heard this story. But so then I felt fear come over me, and I felt this grip around my neck, and I opened my eyes. I'm like, oh, I'm in a dream. So I'm convincing myself to wake up from this dream that I couldn't wake up from until I had the revelation, I am awake. And as I had the fear over me and I'm opening my eyes, I see this thing right above me with yellow eyes like cat eyes and breathing heavy on me. If you've never ever been afraid, that would be the time. It was a real thing. I realized I wasn't a dream, but I had no idea what was going on. And then this reminded me in grad school, one of my mentors said, listen, your brain will melt because you're in so many high-level courses and it's so intense. I was taking 32 units. It was so intense that you needed brain candy. I didn't know what brain candy was, but that's like an easy read, nothing challenging. So I went to the library. I'm like, oh, that sounds Piercing the Darkness or This Present Darkness. Oh, I'll look it up. Then this is like how oblivious I was. I'm like, okay, good. I'm going to read this book. I go, uh-huh, that's sweet. Oh, yeah, look at that fourth chapter, Ephesians 6:12. For we're not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, huh? Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Boy, that's weird. So I start reading this book. All I remember about this book, it was about this old lady who would pray. And as she would pray, it's like the angels in heaven would take spinach like pie, and boom, start whooping on the enemy. But every time the woman wouldn't pray, the demons would get more powerful and whoop on the angels. And it was over a city and these things would happen in a city. I'm like, whoa, that's fascinating. Never having the revelation that that could be real. Just reading a nice brain candy book to help my brain relax is it. But I did remember in a moment while being choked out by a demon, one important thing. I didn't hear my mom's voice. I didn't hear my dad's voice. I remember what it said, the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. So I went to yell Jesus and I couldn't because I was being choked out. At this point, fear has gripped my life and all of a sudden I screamed as loud as I could and it sounded like, Jesus. But just that squeak, I saw those eyes go big as they possibly could, and I felt fear leave, the grip loosen, and I screamed as loud as I could, Jesus! As loud as I could, and I sat up, the thing fled, and I hit my head so hard on the ceiling, I indented the sheetrock, and I jumped off my bed. Immediately, I flung the door open, and there were my two roommates as white as a ghost. One guy was a recovering Catholic, and the other guy... was an atheist. Both of them looked at me, and then I see one of them's girlfriend just run out of our house. And they looked at me, fear of the Lord, told them what happened. Listen, one of them went back to his Catholic church, and now he's a knight of the Columbus Roundtable, whatever that thing is. He's fully, full throttle. My other boy got saved right there, wanted to know Jesus, showed up in church. Okay, showed up in church that Sunday and has dedicated his life to the Lord ever since in a moment. So Christians that want to walk away from the truths about angels and demons and spiritual forces, to me, are living a broken life with zero authority and are getting trampled on in this life. And I'm telling you, we're not going to let that happen at this house. So I want to teach you around it, because I was one of those Christians that knew nothing and was paying the consequences of that. Pushed around, bullied, all by these demonic forces, yet I did not know. When I called my mom to have a little conversation at 2 a.m, she goes, oh, I thought you knew. Yeah, you just say the name of Jesus like it was nothing. I said, Mom, but the sad part was, I realized now being taught the things, there are many things that could afflict you that we may not know. Hence, look at this book, one of my favorite books, The Handbook of Spiritual Warfare. Let me tell you, this will make you wake up real quick, hair on the back of your head, that Christianity becomes real, 101, because there are more references backed up by scripture to teach you your authority in Christ that maybe you don't even know. That will show you the gateways, the things that you can open doors that you didn't even know. A couple things that I'm gonna preach on in a moment is like, man, people don't even know. They might be playing with tarot cards. They might just play with this innocent Ouija board that they could buy at Target, knowing they're opening the gateway to the demonic that can whoop themselves into a frenzy and wonder why their life is a mess just because of a set of cards. Tarot cards, anything future reading, they just want to get their palm read, just totally innocent, but it immediately opens the door, access for the enemy to put a whoop down on your life. And you want to wonder why things aren't lining up for you, why money keeps losing, why relationships keep ending, why you never feel connected to God. Many things, a trauma could happen in your life, a loss of a loved one, a car accident, something that you would never put together could now open a door to spiritual attacks in your life because you're given authority to the demonic realm. Why aren't they teaching this in church? It's amazing. We just heard a conversation. The guy's like, well, you never change the oil of a car on a showroom floor. Well, that's interesting teaching. Sometimes it gets messy in church. I don't know what that's about, but I grew up in that church. That showroom floor looked amazing. But so did all the other Christianese people that said everything was fantastic. And so I heard about affairs and brokenness and struggle and porn addiction, all stuff that no one ever confessed until it was too late, broken, and they started their own trajectory of thinking because everyone walked around our church saying everything's fine, oh, it's all good, my family's awesome. But there's freedom. So on Tuesday, just to give you a real story, because a lot of you have known this whole week, our church has been doing a week-long fast, prayer and fasting. It was a good lesson for me, because why am I waiting until the 1 week a year when my church is doing a fasting? What happened to that? Man, we can fast anytime we want, not when the church says so. And if you ever want anything good on fasting, Jensen Franklin wrote an incredible book on fasting. Talks about a two-day, a Daniel fast, a 21-day fast, a 40-day fast. Whatever is your flavor that you feel you need breakthrough in, let me just tell you one thing is, on Tuesday, God highlighted to me someone, and he says, that person has been stealing, you've been giving them power. I was like, oh, I'm not giving them power. Well, how come when I mention their name, it irritates you? Well, because they irritate me. Well, you're giving them power. There's a splinter of offense in your spirit I need you to get rid of. You want it? So I immediately wrote their name down on just, you know, I wanted three things for breakthrough during my fasting week. That was one of them, and I shared that with my wife. Hey, God really challenged me this morning, and I want to release this, because you're right, I shouldn't go delete his profile off my Instagram. I should pray for him. So I refollowed him and said, every time I see a post, I'm going to pray for him. He owed me some money too, and so not only is this, I saw him get saved, and what it came down to, is he hurt my feelings. You know, because I was pouring into him so much, and I'm very private with, like, the relationships in my life, and my wife and I were going to add them to the list. We're going to couples. Well, instead, went off the rails, broke up with his wife, started drinking, took my money, all these things. I'm like, man, I just have, when I get down to it, my feelings were hurt. I put my heart on the line. I was like, man, but I didn't realize it created this little offense in my spirit until this week during fasting. No joke, haven't talked to him in probably a year. Haven't even thought about him. I made that declaration on Tuesday, on Friday, out to the men's kind of weekend getaway. I received a 1 minute, 3 second voice text from him. And it was beautiful. Everything that I could write in a perfect script, he said to me. What was even more thing is, I never even knew you could do this on your iPhone. It said Apple Pay, $2,000. He didn't even owe me that much. He said, I just want to give you more because I know you've never called me and asked for it or beat me down for it or judged me. I just want to let you know I'm sorry and I want to pay you back. So let me tell you, fasting this week. Come on. Come on. That's all Jesus, people. But why do I tell you that is because sometimes we don't even know the little splinters in our spirit that can be an offense that will hold us down. I just got highlighted it. I confessed it. And then guess what? Fasting for me, I made $2,000. I hope you make some money too. Okay. That's not why I was doing it, but hey, that was a good benefit on the side. So, piercing the darkness. I was sitting there in my room and I was going to teach on, you know, angels and demons and go full throttle. And I had it all worked out. And then God says, no, you're preaching on Luke 4:18. I'm like, why am I preaching on Luke 4:18? Because I said so. Okay, so then I was just praying about it, and I'm leaning back in my chair, thinking about it. I look over on the wall, and bam, I forgot a couple years ago. When my grandpa died, I went to his side of his bed the day before he died, and he said to me, he says, you know what? I think he said I was his favorite grandson, but he gave me this piece of paper, folded up, and he says, the Lord told me to give this to you. He not only gave it to me, he said, don't get caught up in this old man's theology. You're in the right house because this is a spirit-filled house. He was Lutheran Baptist, about as far the other way. And he says, God revealed to me that he's going to do something powerful in your life. This is in 2010. I was just in church at C3, not involved on this level. And I'm telling you, he wrote that up. I found it 2 years ago when I moved, and I couldn't believe it. After I got ordained, I think I found it the next weekend. And it was Luke 4:18. So that's a picture of my grandpa, my brother, and me right before he passed away. And I got that. It was hanging here. I was giving attitude to Jesus. I'm leaning over, and he's shining down on my wall, Luke 4:18. I'm like, okay. And I already had it typed up because I had already gave me the verse. I was a little tripped out. Prayer and fasting, people. So what does it say? In the New King James Version, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Wonder why it's upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery to sight of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Listen, the Holy Spirit was revealing to me, these are in order for a reason. So I want to unpackage this a little bit because, one, this has to do with everything on Freedom Sunday. Number one, demons are real, okay? Jesus cast off evil spirits 76 times in the New Testament. 25% of his entire ministry was deliverance. What's powerful is my cousin came to this church. Remember, my uncle's, it was her dad, preacher, Presbyterian church, powerhouse, biggest Presbyterian church in California. Yet she had a tumor in her chest, in her breast, the left side. And she had been to every doctor, been to every resource, been to everything. I invited her to church. She was away from God, not talking to her dad really, and was engaged to an atheist model in LA. She came down for this particular service, and my buddy, Pastor Christian from Australia, sat there and started preaching. In the middle of him preaching a great word on healing, freedom, and deliverance, he stops and says, someone here has something going on in their left breast, and God just told me, if you come down to the altar, you're going to get healed. I'm going to set you free. Next thing I know, like wind, I was sitting right on the second row where Linda is, right down to the front in Carmel Valley Middle School. He stops a preach to go after this thing. He prays for her, power of God hits her. Next thing you know, another right up next to me because I'm on the second row, and it's her fiance taking a knee going, I'm going to kill that guy right now. What did he just do to my girl? He didn't know. He's atheist, black belt. Just wanted to put a whoop down on the pastor. And I said, she's okay. She laid there for about 3 minutes under the power of God. He went back to preaching. Next thing you know, she jumped up, started going like this. You couldn't even touch her. She was doing side hugs. It hurt so bad, so painful, no answers. She started bawling. In a moment, she was healed, got delivered of that spirit of infirmity, completely set free and healed. forever changed their life, and that man interrupted the service. Remember, he'd never been to church. He didn't know what's the order, didn't know anything. You wait the end. He just walked right up while this guy was preaching and says, I want to give my life to Jesus. He was in the back saying, God, if you're real, heal my wife and I'll be there. Boom, gave his life to Jesus. Obviously, come on. That wrecked the rest of the service, so they just started praying for people. Let's show the video of Christian McCudden. I wanted to get a little video of him saying hello to you guys.
Good morning, C3 San Diego. I am so excited that Dr. Matt is preaching freedom this morning. And the reality is you've entered into the presence of God. You're the smartest people in San Diego. You've stepped into an atmosphere that can change everything. John 10:10 says, the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And I'm praying that this morning you will enter into life, that you will make the decision to go to faith and let God touch you. Over the last 25 years, I've seen two people raised from the dead. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs, others that were demon-oppressed, whose eyes were rolling back in their head, set free in a moment. And Galatians says that it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. John 10:10 says, the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. The abundant life, the free life, is found in Christ through faith. So my encouragement this morning is go to faith. Let Dr. Matt, let the team pray for you. Come out. And demons get on us not always because we're sinning, but perhaps because of a generational curse or a trauma we've been through. And you know what? We all gather stuff as we travel through life. But God says, through my son, you can be free. So why don't you go to that place this morning of saying, you know what, I need to be free. I want to be free. God, let your Holy Spirit come upon me and touch me today. I'm so excited for the testimonies that are going to follow. God is good. Be blessed. Enjoy church.
Come on. Come on. He was at men's prayer a few months ago, man. I mean, I think there was 100 decked out dudes on the floor. Power of anointing. He has witnessed two people that he's prayed for. Raised from the dead, confirmed dead. Let me tell you, half the ambulance and police force that were on a car accident scene, dude under a sheet, got prayed for and came back to life. There's power when you're walking under that authority, and it's for every one of us. So I just want to get us into this awakening of who you're called to be in Christ. See, in Western countries, our worldview is very secular, but the Bible view is a spirit worldview. And I need us to tap in because we wake up every day in this worldview. So we have to rage against it through the Word of God, through teaching, through being around, through understanding deliverance and prayer, getting yourself taken care of first so you can be an overflowing vessel to walk in that authority. But what happens is we just pick up junk along the way. I want to give you a little understanding of demons since I already done my study on it. So real quick, you know, in John 10:10, he talked about it, but whatever the devil controls, he destroys. Demons have emotions. In James 2:19, you could read about it. If you want to take some notes, I encourage you right now. They have knowledge. You could read Mark 1:21 through 28 to find out of demons and what kind of knowledge they have. They have self-awareness. You could read about that in Mark 5:9. Demons speak. They will speak to you. Mark 1:26, Mark 5:9, Acts 19:15. Those are three illustrations where a demon spoke. Make sure you know your authority and what you're going to say back to him. Jesus never negotiated. He didn't conversate with demons. He commanded them. They teach false doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1-2, it says the doctrine of demons. It's interesting. In Acts 16:16-18, demons followed Paul around for 3 days. Finally, he was sick of it, and he said, I command you. Busted them off his life. Demons know your name. In Acts 19:13-16, it was 8. Interesting, and in 1915, one of the demons said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. Who are you? He was talking to some pastors. Pastors that didn't have any authority. So the demons recognize authority. When you got it, when you don't. Matter of fact, they ripped all the, not only they didn't have power, I feel bad for those pastors, they left that meeting naked. Could you imagine three naked pastors running down the street with no power? I never want to be, I tested this morning. I was fully clothed. Nothing happened. So that was a joke, people. Don't get so heavy, okay? We're just talking about demons here. You can go read in the book of Enoch just the difference between demons and fallen angels. Fallen angels are not demons. It says in Jude 6, fallen angels are in chains in hell waiting for judgment. So you have to wait for another preach on what are demons. But they're not your friends, I promise you. So let me unpackage this, but I love in Psalm 91:11, it says, for he shall give you his angels charge over you. Doesn't say angel, says angels, minimum two. Come on. I probably got seven, I need it. To help you in all your ways. Right. So I want to unpackage Luke 4:18, and then we're going to declare a few things this morning. Yeah. So why would we need, in verse 1, point number 1, he has anointed us. Why would we need God's anointing? Well, you need to be anointing if you're going to walk in power. If you're going to walk in power, that means he's given you power for a thing. This isn't about just getting saved because then he could just take you to heaven. He wants to anoint you with power. Why do we know in power? Then it goes to this. Point number 2, to preach the gospel. Number 1 priority is to reconcile people to God, address the issue of sin, and get God's people in revelation of who God is. That's number 1. He's given us Luke 4:18 in a rhythm and a purpose and an unpackaging for a reason. Listen, deliverance ministry is great, but it never trumps reconciling people to who their Father is. Number 1 thing is let people know who Jesus is. Number 3, heal the brokenhearted. This one I will tell you is the one where I see most people get messed up in the church. It's what happens is it's damage to our soul. We are brokenhearted because of abuse or we've had betrayal. This is a very common thing, and if people don't definitely deal with the heart issue, a lot of things start to unfold. See, we can't see damage to the heart. We try to control the damage. We manage the pain. And when we get ourselves locked in bondage, it gets room to be manipulated. See, the devil isn't going to cause a thing, but he'll take a wound and then cause bondage to it. He'll get you wrapped up in it. He'll create that heart to get bitter, to get offenses that start to get building. And we build walls thinking it's to save ourselves, but we haven't nailed it to the cross and given it to Jesus. So the issues of the heart, I think, are the most damaging of what I've witnessed on the pastoral care part of things. And we'll get into that in a minute. You know, just be aware of your emotions too, because having emotion, when you start to think about some of the pains, it could stir up emotions. You could get emotional. That doesn't mean the demon's trying to poke and prod you, but what you're doing is you're allowing that emotion to be reserved. See, sometimes when you just validate, yes, I was hurt. See, with this guy, I just said, you know what, Lord, you're right. Maybe I just have my heart feeling. And for a guy to say I had my feelings hurt, that's a big deal. But in my announcing that I had my feelings hurt, I was able to feel that offense that I didn't know was there. I immediately rebuked it. I fasted the rest on Friday. Boom. It's amazing what can happen when we get set free. So when this emotion comes up, or irritation or being annoyed might stir up because you're now looking at maybe there's some heart issues right now. And that's totally common, but doesn't mean it's normal. And we're going to get set free today. Number 4, proclaim liberty to the captives. What does a captive mean? Well, there's a prison, and there's usually in prison, there's a jailer. That jailer in this sense is a demonic spirit, is holding people in captivity. So it says Jesus came to set us free in Mark 3:13 and 14. Jesus went up to the mountainside and called him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And he gave them authority to drive out demons. It's amazing. So many Christians, the ones I meet right here, is like, oh, I don't know if I have that gifting. It's not a gift. You are called, if you're in this house, you know Jesus, you are now called to drive them out. Drive them out of your own life, out of your kids' lives, out of your neighbor's life, out of your mother-in-law's life, whatever it is. Drive those demons out. Then someone's like, well, there must not be demons in California. Oh, Lord, help me. Come on. So train them up, preach the gospel, cast out demons. That's what it is. I mean, it's funny coming to this church, and then Pastor Jurgen would start sending John and Becky and myself and Michaela out, and he goes, I need my Ghostbuster team. You want to go over this house? We got a report in. Man, we would love it. We'd roll up to houses. We'd start praying for people, stuff flying off the walls. I never grew up 30 years seeing this radical stuff. And for those that are bored and think Christianity is kind of like one of those numb things, let me tell you, you're not on the right serving team. I can get you plugged in immediately. All right, if you like that thing and you feel a calling towards it, it's most of the people that get set free want to walk in that authority because of the freedom they experience and the clarity and the healing. I had a patient that got radically healed of MS in a moment due to prayer and deliverance. MRI before, there was lesions on the brain. MRI afterwards, completely set free and healed. What do you know? Brings me to my next point in this liberty to the captive. Sometimes Christians are held captive because they have a doctrine that says, well, Christians can't have a demon. Well, it's bad theology. Listen, they say because if a Christian has the Holy Spirit, they can't have a demon. It's because they've got their theology that you hear the word possession. I'm not talking about being possessed. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will not be possessed, but that doesn't mean you won't be afflicted, infected, or influenced by a demonic activity. Just like, that's like saying, well, if you have the Holy Spirit, you can't sin. Oh, come on. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can't get sick. These are all bad understandings. Guess what? We still sin and we have the Holy Spirit. We fall short. We still get sick and there's still a flu bug. So the understanding is just understanding. It's like I have a cold, I have a tummy bug, I have a demon. Yeah. Right. Christians can get demons. And we want you, when in doubt, let's go get it cast out. Come on, that's my theory. You should see that half the conversations with my wife and I, we'll start talking, we get a little irritated. I'm like, babe, is that a demon or is that you? Knock it off. Okay, that's a demon for sure. It's either that or low blood sugar, but I never take a chance. Listen, I want to show you this last video, then I'll wrap this thing up. I want you to see this. Keith Martins, he does Kingdom Ministries. He came down. He's actually Pastor John's uncle. And he came down, and he is a Mennonite brother. Good old Mennonite brother, teacher of the word. Didn't believe in the Holy Spirit until one day because his PhD in psychology, and he's on as a counselor at Fresno Pacific. He was sitting there, and this person in front of him says, I hate you. And he goes, oh, that's weird. Why do you hate me? And started growling, I'm gonna kill you. And he's like, man, that's a woman. That's the weirdest voice I've ever heard, didn't know. And so he just goes, be still in the name of Jesus. And she froze. And then he goes, God, what is that? God revealed something. He did it. Anyways, got her set free in the moment. He goes, man, I better start reading my Bible a little bit differently. Then a week later, no joke, he was sitting there doing counseling session. Guy pulls out a knife. I'm gonna kill you. And he goes, in the name of Jesus, freeze. For like 15 minutes, this person, in the name of Jesus, dropped the knife. I don't know what to do next. Okay, stay right there. That's how his deliverance ministry started. Now, 25 years later, he's a boss, teaches on. He said, I'm coming down, get all your young friends. So we're all like this. Pastor Jurgen's like, yeah, go for it. So we're down in my PB office at the time. I no longer have it. Now you'll know why. He came down. We were supposed to start at 9. Long story short, he goes, hey, man, there's a lot of demonic activity down here in PB. Why'd you pick this place? Well, that's where my office is. Yeah, we're going to need till 1 to clear this out. They circled the block, prayed up the building, anointed it with oil. And when they felt the release of the demonic activity over that block, they said, let's start the seminar. So we did the seminar. No joke, for weeks later, I'd have people just walk in. We feel the light in this place. It feels so peaceful. Random people. We never had one walk-in in like 3 years. Within 3 months, we had about 20. All the same circumstance. They didn't know why they're waking in. They felt like a peace or a calling. It's because that place was sanctified and some stuff got busted loose. Take a spiritual authority over your house, over your workplace. Let's watch this quick video.
Hey, C3. It's Pastor John's favorite uncle. And I'm here with Kingdom Ministries here in Fresno, the city that's close to everywhere you'd rather be. I wanted to share two stories with you today as I was asked about deliverance. And the two stories I chose, it was hard to do after 30 years of doing this, but I chose two that are more common. Instead of thinking of people as just possessed or perhaps in great bondage, a lot of us are walking around packing critters that we don't know about from unresolved things of our past. So the first story is about a young Fijian woman who grew up here in the U.S. as a Christian in a Christian home. And she came for prayer asking for freedom from her bad dreams that she had had ever since she was a little girl. And so we prayed for her. And just remember, the thing is not the thing. It's only the symptom of the thing, okay? So we asked the Lord through the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, will you show her, that's important, show her, not me, but her, what the root of this is, why is she having these dreams, where they come from, and why when she prays they don't go away. And then, very importantly, we used Jesus' authority and said, in Jesus' name, I command you to come into the light of Christ and be revealed. And when we did that, she began to immediately begin to slap her arms, going, oh my God, who's burning me with sticks? And She reported the sensation and this memory of being burnt with sticks. Turns out when we asked the Lord about it, it was her grandmother, who was a shaman in Fiji. And this young woman had no recollection of this experience, yet she knew it was real from what her heard about her family. So we had her reject any of the spiritual influences that were outside of God. And she did. I reject them in the name of Jesus. I want nothing to do with them. And ask you, Holy Spirit, to restore me in Jesus' name. And then we commanded what was ever there to leave. That night, she slept well. And the next morning we saw her and she reported that she had a great night of sleep. But she did dream. But she dreamt a good dream, she said. And she's smiling and said, I dreamt that I forgave my grandmother. At a birthday table on my fifth birthday. And so I woke up and I did forgive her right there, which was an important part of her freedom. And since then, she hasn't had any more dreams. Second story is about a woman that was in our home fellowship group, a pastor's wife actually, who came again, the thing's not the thing. You think these things are no big deal or physical. She basically said, can I have prayer for my devotional life. I just want to connect with God more. I want to get into prayer more, but I feel like I'm constantly hindered. Like my prayers are hitting the ceiling, they're bouncing off, and I'm frustrated and I feel like giving up. So my wife and I said, okay, well, let's pray for her. And so we did, and as we met, we just said, Lord, is there any reason why she can't connect with God? And we expose anything. If there's anything spiritual in the name of Jesus, we expose it in Christ's name. And immediately she got the sick feeling in her stomach and the taste of nachos in her mouth. And we laughed because we go, man, what's that? Did you have that for lunch? She goes, no, I haven't had that for a long time. And so we couldn't figure it out. So we went back to the Bible, said, test everything, right? So we said, all right, Lord, is there any reason why she had that taste in her mouth, that reaction, the sick feeling? If there's anything there that's spiritual, we command it to come into the light in the name of Jesus, be exposed. She then remembered in junior high, she had a sleepover with her girlfriends, and they were all gathered around playing with the Ouija board and eating nachos. So when she became aware of that memory, then she asked the Lord for forgiveness, and she rejected that. Again, I renounce that in the name of Jesus, that thing I participated in, even though I thought it was innocent. And then she reported that something left her, and she felt free, and the real fruit was that the next week, she reported that made all the difference in the world. That had to be it, because her experience with God had really changed. So get some freedom today. I want you to try it. Spend a little time instead of just commanding things away, and go a little bit deeper. And I know that you'll find freedom. If you need more resources, you can go here and check it out. Or my nephew can call me.
Come on. How good is that? Come on. Number five. Recover vision. It says recover sight to the blind, but when I did a deep dive, he didn't say heal the sick. It was recover sight to the blind. This is because it has to do with restoration of vision. You know, we're all called, God's people are called to prophesy, but you can't prophesy when you lose vision. It's so important to get your vision back. So even if tonight, today, right now, if you're thinking about whether it's a broken heart, whether you feel like you're a captive, whether you feel like you've lost your vision, whatever it is. And number six is free the oppressed. You feel like there's a weight of oppression on you. You set them at liberty means set people free of their burdens, whether it's guilt, whether it's shame, whether it's expectations put on you by family. There's an interesting study I did. Someone that's sexually abused, they have to swear to secrecy. That's a burden on their life. Not only do they need a healing, there's burden on them. There's even this thing called in counseling, a heavy burden put on parents to their kids. It's called a code of silence. You can't talk about this or this will happen. You can't talk about this. That's a suppression. That's a burden. Opens demonic activity. That means there's oppression and they need to get set free of it. Or they manifest in ways. And the parents don't know they're doing it, but it opens the gateway to an oppression, and we got to get the liberty to set them free. And the bonus is proclaim the year of the Lord. Just means that debts are canceled and the inheritance of your kingdom will come to you. The blessing, eternal life. Listen, just to recap, reconcile us to God, get saved, address issues, deal with demonic spirits, and create healing. Restore vision so we can do a thing with our lives, lift off limitations, and then give grace and all glory to God. See, deliverance is one of maybe the six things, maybe two if we're dealing with it. the one thing that I just want to just teach real quick, John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will overflow rivers of living water. See, out of your heart needs to come living water. That means you refresh people, and therefore you're refreshed. The fruit should be living, alive, powerful. It uplifts you. But then he spoke concerning the Spirit from those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you want those rivers of flowing life. Listen, in Proverbs 4:20 through 23, if something's back to that heart issue blocking your heart, this stopped God's flow in your life. Proverbs 4:20, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. So many people are sick. Has nothing to do with physical health. It's the emotional heart health causing sickness and infirmity and demonic possession over their life because of their heart issues. It goes on and says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything, how much?
Everything
you do flows from it. A river that flows out flows like a river. So if you have bitterness, if you have offense, if you have judgments, if you have rejection, guess what's flowing out of your heart? It says right here, for above all else, guard your heart. For everything, it's time to get right. It's time to get our hearts right today and let go of those things, because the offense is affecting our heart, not theirs. Bitterness, judgments, we got to let them go. These shut down relationships. We cannot change behaviors, but we must change the heart. So many things in this Western world are all about behavior modification. Right. We need heart modification. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it right now. So I want you to think, just like the last story. Listen, David, King David. King David in the Bible and Saul's daughter, Michal, they were meant to be married. Saul offended, oppressed, hurt, and wounded both his daughter and David. David decided, I'm going to reconcile and ask for forgiveness. Then he had a chance with King Saul in front of him to take his life. But because he resolved those issues of the heart, he spared his life and became king. When he became king, he was reconciled to his wife, Michal. But guess what? She didn't resolve that bitterness in her heart. So therefore, when they got the Ark of the Covenant back in the city, David was worshiping God, but Michal couldn't. So her heart was blocked. Her relationship with God was blocked. And then God said, bam, she's barren the rest of her life. I'm telling you, I don't want any of our hearts to be blocked tonight. I want healing. I want forgiveness. I want us to be set free. Unforgiveness. Man, they both were hurt, but one chose to forgive. The other did not. Whether it's unforgiveness, bitter judgments, or inner vows, we have a choice. That's what I love about this. Listen, I'm going to walk us. If I could have us all stand to our feet, I just want to walk us. Then I'm going to have the ministry team come down. It's so important that on Freedom Sunday, we just say, that's it, I'm getting free. I'm not going to let the devil rule, reign. I don't want him to have 5%, 2%, 50%. He has no room for anything in our life. We are called to walk a Luke 4:18 life, in that order if we can. But if you don't know Jesus, so if I could have you all bow your head, close your eyes, I just want to look for hands. We're going to all say a prayer together anyways, but I just want to make sure, if you've never reconciled your heart to Jesus, or you once did but you took it back and you want to do that again, just raise your hand. I'm going to include you in my prayer. When you come down, you can tell the ministry team, hey, I just asked Jesus in my heart. We're going to give you a Bible. I see your hand up there, sir. I see your hand, young lady. I see your hand, sir. Hands everywhere over here. Once you raise your hand, you could set it down. I see all those hands. Just make sure when you come down, we're all going to say this prayer together. You told them, hey, I lifted my hand. I want to get that Bible. I want to get that book following Jesus. And this young man right here will make sure that you get that book. No other step is more important than that step right there. It even says that in Luke. Step one, reconcile my kids to me. The rest of it is for people that know Jesus, that just want to live in full authority, full power, full freedom, that we can walk in victory victory in our health, victory in our relationships, victory in our mind, victory in our emotions, victory in our finances. We're going to say this thing. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge your presence, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose again so that I might be saved. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me into all truth. I declare my dependence on you and take my stand against Satan. I choose to believe the truth of God's word. I refuse to be discouraged because you are the God of all hope. Nothing is too difficult for you. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bring to mind anything and everything that I have done knowingly or unknowingly that is not in agreement with your word. I want to experience your freedom by renouncing these things right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, here we go. We're going to renounce some things. So right now, under your breath, I want you to confess anything that you've participated in that's offensive to God. No one's here to judge you. It's just between you and the Lord right now. That's what a personal relationship with Jesus is about. Whatever it is, no matter how dark, how gray, even if it's on the fence and you're not sure, I'd lay it out there. And let's say this together. Lord, I confess that I have participated in. Have that conversation, whether it's sexual immorality, pornography, witchcraft, the occult, lying, deception, whatever it is. Say it now. I know it was evil and offensive in your sight. Thank you for your forgiveness. I renounce any and all involvement. And I cancel out all that the ground that the enemy has gained in my life through this activity. Now forgiveness. Lord, I choose to forgive. And you insert the name of a person, persons, anyone and everyone right now. Just start thinking in your mind. I wrote a list when I got set free. You know what a soul tie is. Can't teach on it now, but if you've slept with somebody that's not your wife or you're not married, you now have a soul tie with that person. I want you to break those soul ties right now because they have affliction. If you want to come talk to me afterwards about soul ties were a powerful thing that bound my spirit that no one ever told me. I would have chose differently if I grew up in a church and they said there was more of a thing, but losing my V card because it was stupid is one thing. But to know that I'll have a spiritual attachment the rest of my life that could bind me up and lock me down is a soul tie. And you think of those names. If you got to later, write them down. You pray over them. You have a pastor anointing. You get set free from every soul tie. So when you move into marriage, there's freedom. So we're going to do this right now with any of those names. I forgive them for what they did or failed to do. Lord, I choose not to hold on to resentment. I thank you for setting me free from bondage of all bitterness and offense. I relinquish my right to seek revenge and ask you to heal my damaged emotions. I now ask you to bless those who have hurt me. In Jesus' name. And now this is the final thing in a bold voice. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Come on. In the name and authority of Jesus Christ,
in the name and authority of Jesus Christ,
I command Satan
and all evil spirits
to release me so I can be free.
As a child of God,
I command every evil spirit
to leave my presence.
I belong to God.
And the evil one cannot touch me.
Thank you, Jesus, for your protection
and guidance over my life.
I thank you
that you are always with me
and never leave me.
Thank you for filling me with your love
and peace that surpasses all understanding.
Thank you for your favor
and blessing in my life. Today I am free. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. So, we're not done yet. I'm going to open up the altar right now. The worship team's going to come up. If you need prayer, come down. If you feel like you wanted to say that, but you couldn't loose your tongue, that's a demonic spirit. It's real. It's here. There's some people that wanted to confess that but could not. That's a demonic activity. We need you to come down so we can bust that loose your tongue so you can speak it over your life. The devil cannot control you, but he can influence you. But sometimes we need that blocking spirit to be cast off, busted off. Sometimes there's a deeper level of freedom that you need. That means there's forgiveness. We'll take you through steps of forgiveness. Everyone's been trained up. You can text 555 I am free to get all the downloads, everything that you need to walk in your authority that God has given you. I know there's warriors and warrioresses in this house that already walk with this. God's calling you to another level. Some of you, this is brand new. And I'm telling you, it's not brand new for the kingdom. God's called you. You're here for a reason. Some of you, man, this might be your first time. You're like, that was intense. It's okay. Go get a glass of water. Calm down. Come back tonight for the five, and it'll get more intense. And then you'll think this was easy. Okay? But this is the Christianity that God has called us to, because a country is looking for power. So they're diving in all of these things that is fake power, because the devil ensnares them. But when you have a church that walks in power and authority, they're attracted to it. Hence, we won't let the Holy Spirit hide in a box. We'll let them out. I want to let you know that these men and women care for you. No one is here to judge you. No one here, we all have junk in our life. The devil will convince you to stay there. I'm telling you, you know why it's called an altar? Sometimes you gotta get out of your seat, come down to the altar to get things altered in your life. I promise you, I was a mess on legs when I found this church. I didn't like pastors or Christians, and now I am one. I'm telling you, I got delivered. I got set free. I've seen people healed. I've seen one person raised from the dead. Changed my life forever. I've seen demonic activity. It's a radical journey of faith. We have prayer on Tuesday mornings, women on Thursday mornings. If this is all new to you, I encourage you, deep in, press in. But we're going to open it up right now. We love you, church. Be praying for you. Walk in victory and freedom in the name of Jesus. See you tonight.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.